Hello, everybody. Well, coming up is an election for the chancellorship of Cambridge University, because the incumbent Lord Sainsbury, David Sainsbury of Turville, he stepped aside. So he held that role since 2011. His predecessor was Phil the Greek, the late Prince Philip, Duke of Edinburgh, as in he was Prince Philip was the husband of Queen Elizabeth II. Prince Philip, who died in, what was it, 2021, a year and a half before his wife. And he'd held that since the 70s. So is an honorary position to be simply a figurehead, equivalent of a monarch, a constitutional monarch for the university, not intervening from day to day, not even visiting the university very often. And there's no requirement that you be a Cambridge graduate or indeed a graduate of any university to hold that office. Prince Philip never went near any university. And so they were the great and the good held these, and there hadn't been a contested election for 165 years. So very often they've been royalty who held this position. Prince Albert, the husband of Queen Victoria, he was Chancellor of Cambridge University, and the Duke of Grafton back in the 18th century, he was Prime Minister. Grafton Street in Dublin's named in his honour. Arthur Balfour, he was a Conservative Prime Minister, 1902 to 1905. He was Prime Minister, he was Chancellor, he was a Cambridge graduate, as was Stanley Baldwin, a Canterbridgean Prime Minister in the 20s and the 30s. I won't give his exact years, and other people like that. And if you go way back into the Middle Ages, the very early days of Cambridge University, they were often clergy. Anyway, so is this going to be by post? But those who are allowed to vote are only people who are have higher degrees from Cambridge University, so not bachelor's degrees, although the Bachelor of Divinity, BD, is a postgraduate degree. Yes, very confusingly, is called bachelor, even though it's postgraduate. So you've got a PhD, an MPhil, MLit, those kind of things. And indeed, members of Regent House are allowed to vote. So that's most librarians, academics, some of the administrators, at least 7,000 of them. So largely speaking, the dons are permitted to vote, and those who've got postgraduate degrees wherever in the world they live. I mean, until 2011, they had to vote in person. But as I say, they hadn't actually voted since 1847. It was always uncontested. Somebody was elected unopposed. And this is an office which may be held for life. And usually they did hold it for life. They didn't retire. So who was the Lord Sainsbury, that bloke? He was a cabinet minister under Blair. Boo! Because he donated millions to Blair. I remember Viscount Cranbourne, a Conservative politician, saying on the House of Peers, looking at the government benches, I can count out the millions that these peers represent that they've donated to the Labour Party. So that Lord Sainsbury, yes, he comes from the supermarket family. Was his grandfather founded that supermarket chain over 100 years ago and became very wealthy, and they achieved co-option into the upper class, having started out as humble grocers. So he went to born in 1940, went to Eton, then a King's College, Cambridge, which is perhaps the most magnificent college in Cambridge if you see it. Also founded by Henry VI, he founded Eton, got almost the same coat of arms, an enormous quadrangle. Anyway, was well within his family business after that. Now, but despite his upper class background, he was a man of mild leftist sympathies, member of the Labour Party. He never contested public office. But now, how old is he? 85. He decided to step aside. If I got the right one, he's got an estate in Hampshire, not too far from Basingstoke. But anyway, so who's going to be the next Chancellor of Cambridge University? There's no requirement, as I say, that you're a Canterbridgean or have attended any university, but they usually are Cambridge graduates who get elected. So it could be Sandy Toksvig, who was a Cambridge graduate, born, when is it, in 1958. She was a member of the Liberal Democrats, I thought, but never stood for election anything. So she went into broadcasting, radio and television, a comedienne. She's deeply unfunny. So born in the United Kingdom to Danish parents. And she came out in, was it the early 90s, as a lesbian. Now, it was completely uncontroversial then. But you've got to remember, over 30 years ago, this was still something that a lot of people disapproved of. And she's a Euro fanatic as well. She stood to be Chancellor of Oxford University back in 2003 and had her ass handed to her. Now, a left-wing friend said, oh, well, she's only vaguely left-wing candidate, and she's part of the Women's Equality Party, helped to establish that in 2014. So she is a paedophobe. campaigning for the mass murder of children. Lovely. And it goes on. So yeah, Michael Portillo was a conservative cabinet minister. He was elected in 1984 after the murder of was it Sir Anthony Berry, and he was elected for Enfield Southgate, and he was the great white hope of the right of the party. Would he stand in 1995 when the then Prime Minister John Major resigned as leader of the Conservative Party, not as Prime Minister, to trigger a leadership election, back me or sack me? But Portillo didn't stand, disappointing some of his supporters. Coming to the 97 election, everybody knew the Tories were going to get trashed, and some Conservatives say, well, Portillo will be our next leader, he'll lead us back to office. But he famously lost his seat to Stephen Twigg, and then he was re-elected for Kensington Chelsea in 1999, that by-election upon the death of Alan Clarke. And you know, he was the shadow chancellor under Hague, and then was he going to go for the leadership? He went for it in 2001. He didn't even get into the last ballot before the members won. He lost one MP. One MP said, your plans to reform the party, will you water that down? Portillo refused. He lost that, so he wasn't in the final two. And Portillo left Parliament, was it in 2005? So he's been doing the railway journeys of the world, and then he's been perpetuating sort of anti-British bigotry ever since then. Yeah, and then there's James O'Shaughnessy, or Lord O'Shaughnessy, see now, a former Conservative MP. Anyway, he's head of Cambridge University Health Partners, not terribly well known. Gina Miller, who is this Euro fanatic activist, a British Guyanese woman, and she was found to have locus standi to bring a case to Supreme Court. R. Miller, and Secretary of State for exiting the European Union, saying the United Kingdom couldn't simply leave the EU by executive order, you know, by the Prime Minister saying so, had to be voted in Parliament. Well, she won a case that happened, and indeed challenged the prorogation of Parliament September 2009. She again won her case. She's a member of the Liberal Democrats, but has never stood for office before. There's Professor Wynne Evans, who's an astrophysicist and Cambridge Don. Okay, there's Mohammed Abdullah Al Erian, who's an Egyptian American. He was an economics don, and he's president of Queen's College Cambridge. So there are, I don't know, roughly 30 colleges in Cambridge, and so every one of them's got a head of house. They got different titles, different ones. His one's president. And lastly, there's Lord Brown, and he was chief executive of British Petroleum, Beyond Petroleum as it is now. And he's one of the few people in that very red-blooded world as captains of industry to be an out homosexual. Not controversial these days, but it was at the time. So these are the candidates. So there's only, is it one non-white candidate? There are two gay candidates, women's equality member, someone who was in the Liberal Democrats, someone who's in Conservative Party. Well, two. I mean, I'm not sure Portillo still is in the Conservative Party. So we shall see who's going to get it. I mean, it's largely name recognition is what swings it. So remember, they're basically all over 25, those who vote by post. So people from all over the world can vote. So, I mean, Portillo and Sandy Toksvig, they both got name recognition because you need 50 nominations. Remember, Vox didn't need any nominations at all. There are only seven candidates. And the nominations just closed yesterday. So I was going to say, all right. So James O'Shaughnessy, forget it. He's a complete unknown. You know, Wynne Evans, forget it. He's unknown. That leaves sort of five. But who's best? None of these. You know, Portillo, Sandy Toksvig, they're fairly well known. Gina Miller, somewhat. Lord Brown, not very much. He was better known like almost 20 years ago. And the Mohammed Al Erian, he's well known in Cambridge, but not by people who've long graduated. So I think the serious contenders are Sandy Toksvig, Michael Portillo, and Gina Miller. But you know, it's a very left-wing place. So Portillo, as a former conservative, I can't see the people voting for him. I think it's between Gina Miller and Sandy Toksvig. So I mean, I slightly think Sandy Toksvig will edge it. The only thing is she a bit past it? And she does go back to Cambridge, volunteers to help her old college an awful lot. We shall see. All right. Perhaps what a curious system. Someone like that, he doesn't even have a house there, just visits occasionally, is the ultimate authority, presides over various ceremonies. And there is no retirement date. They can die in office, but I reckon from now on they'll probably decide to stand down. In Oxford, I think it's a 10-year term now. Thanks for watching my channel. Goodbye.